Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Mark Langdon's Bets Club, and it is Warren Ashurst and James Milton with you for your one-stop shop for all your football betting advice. I'd like to think of it, James, as a bit more of a tactical double substitution, this rather than a panic stations in the last 5 minutes. But we're here to run you through all of this weekend's action, not only, of course, in the Premier League, but also we'll hear from Dan Charles a little bit later on as well in regards to the EFL. Let's just reflect, though, on what we've seen so far in the Premier League this season. One of the main talking points, James, of course, has been about the number of red cards that have been happening so far, and maybe the referees taking a different look on the disciplinary front so far this season. What do you make of it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we had 6 red cards, was it, in the first couple of weeks of fixtures in the Premier League. There are only 30 in the whole of last season. Now, obviously, one of those reds has been chalked off. Alexis McAllister, you know, it looked a soft one, really, for Liverpool against Bournemouth last weekend. I think you can always tell a lot by the player's reaction. And, you know, some professional footballers are better actors than others. But there seems kind of a genuine shock from McAllister when he was shown the red card there. So I think definitely, you know, new regulations and referees love to go in hard at the start of the season, don't they? You know, the equivalent of a kind of midfield player putting a reducer in the first 10 minutes. So I think it will settle down. You know, that won't come to much consolation for players like Tomiyasu of Arsenal and Tim Ream of Fulham, who dismissed for a couple of yellow cards last week. Which, you know, both of those I think can feel pretty hard done by. But yeah, I think it will settle down. But for the moment, yeah, you want to be treading carefully in those card markets, I think.
I think the thing is as well is that the fans quite liked the last couple of seasons, I think, when they let things go a little bit more and things were a little bit, you know, free-flowing, shall we say, more than anything. There is that risk that if they do start to, you know, dish out the red cards, games get spoilt quite early doors. And as you say there, in terms of, you know, having a bet on these games, a red card can make a huge difference. Arsenal seemingly in control in the game against Crystal Palace. They go down to 10 men and they're able to hold on. But that's something to watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it feels like there have been sort of mixed messages with these new guidelines. You know, I think kind of tougher tackles, the refs are being told maybe to let go more than they have done. But then, yeah, you get the kind of dissent and the time-wasting yellow cards. And, you know, ironically, they end up probably wasting more time and frustrating fans even more than the original offences, I think. So we'll see how it pans out.
It's not just yellow cards and red cards, which have been a big talking point so far. Injuries as well are taking their toll, particularly on some of the bigger teams. We've seen Kevin De Bruyne ruled out for 3 or 4 months. We've seen Chelsea impacted quite heavily in the last couple of weeks with injuries as well. I mean, first off, James, is there anything, in your opinion, that we can put down to potentially the firmness of the pitches, where they were playing in pre-season? Anything that sticks out to you, why that might be the case?
I think it's for, you know, I'm going to lay my cards on the table. So I do not have any medical training, so this is a complete layman's view. But I think it's probably cumulative, really. You know, the workload of these players, obviously with the mid-season World Cup last season, which was a new challenge for everyone. But, yeah, you know, as you say, the clubs will jet off on these pre-season tours, even post-season tours. The pitches aren't always as good as you'd like to see in the Premier League, maybe. And you know, it's, I think this particular glut of injuries has been really concerning. And you know, you can have virtually an entire fantasy football team of big name players already out for significant periods of time. So it is a worry. The other thing I'd note on this is that kind of has a knock on effect in the transfer window. You know, we're looking ahead to the third round of Premier League fixtures. But you know, with these injuries, there's teams still kind of having to think on their feet and still now looking for big signings right as we approach deadline day. So it'll be really interesting to see how that works out. You know, I think probably Palace fans and Wolves fans seeing Man City being linked with a couple of their star names. That's a concern for them because, you know, if you do get a bid that you can't turn down, then you don't have a lot of time to reinvest, really.
Yeah, it's going to be a big couple of weeks or so in terms of how the squads turn out. as we then prepare for the main crux of the season, of course. But we're going to focus, as James just mentioned there now, on week three of the Premier League campaign. And up next, it's a preview of the big one. It's Newcastle against Liverpool. So the big match then this weekend in terms of the Premier League is at 4:30pm on Sunday. St James's Park is the venue for Newcastle against Liverpool. You're looking at around 23-20 for Newcastle to claim the 3 points, 11-4 the draw, and 2-1 Liverpool. I suppose both teams will be relatively happy with how they've started so far, James, bearing in mind that Newcastle in particular will probably argue that they've had quite a tough start to the campaign in terms of their opening couple of fixtures. They're looking at potential Champions League football as well and trying to balance their squad. What do you make of the work Eddie Howe's done so far in terms of summer transfer activity?
Yeah, I think they've continued, you know, ever since the takeover was finalised. They've kind of been building steadily, and that's continued this summer. I think if I were a Newcastle fan, I think I'd be happier with the way they're going about their business than, you know, say if they'd just spent the entire budget on Neymar or someone. You know, Sandro Tonali, he's only 23, I think, but huge kind of European and international experience. Harvey Barnes is a proven Premier League performer. And then they've looked to have locked down the fullback positions for the next decade or so if Livramento and Lewis Hall kind of kick on and fulfil their potential. Both of those, interestingly, came through the Chelsea youth system. So maybe Newcastle will be selling them back to Chelsea for $200 million for the pair in a few years' time. But I think Newcastle have got a great chance of kind of cementing their position in the top four. Even fifth place, of course, this season could get you a Champions League spot with the expansion of that competition. And you know, just the way that say Manchester United and have started, and Chelsea are definitely going to need time to hit top gear under Pochettino. So I think Newcastle, the way they've kind of built steadily, incredibly consistent, only lost five games last season. Two of those defeats were against Newcastle, of course, against Liverpool, sorry.
Well, just about to mention, which I'm really sort of stunned at when I've just had a look at the stats before, that Newcastle haven't beaten Liverpool since December 2015. That was when Steve McLaren was in charge of the Magpies. They've got a particularly good record at St James's Park as well, the Reds. Of what you've seen of Liverpool so far, would Jurgen Klopp be happy with the start they've made?
I mean, I think the kind of frustrating transfer window has cast a bit of a shadow over Liverpool's on-field displays. You know, that clearly the plan was, you know, if they couldn't get Bellingham, then it would be Caicedo, then it would be Labia. They've missed out on all of those. So I think that's affected them. They drew at Chelsea, made a really bright start to that game and then faded a bit and beat Bournemouth at home again, kind of fell behind in the third minute and looked pretty open at the back. And then had to close out the game with 10 men, which they did pretty well. So I think a solid start, but definitely room for improvement from Liverpool. And you know, it's going to take time with this new look midfield to gel properly.
So a big test then for Liverpool as to how far they have come with the new midfield in particular. What's your best bet for this clash then this weekend, James?
Yeah, I like Newcastle. I think they're probably just about short enough in the betting, though. So I'm going a little bit left field, over 1.5 first half goals in this one. Mentioned, you know, Liverpool's game against Bournemouth. They could have been 2-0 down inside 3 minutes there, really. And they themselves made a great start at Stamford Bridge. Now, only two of Newcastle's last 20 league games have been goalless at half time. So, I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I have fond memories of their five goals in the first 20 minutes against Spurs last season. I'm expecting a lively game and definitely an entertaining first half.
So that's James's thoughts then on the big clash of the weekend, Newcastle against Liverpool. Now, looking ahead to the remainder of the other Premier League fixtures, we start off with Friday evening's big clash at Stamford Bridge. It's Chelsea against the Luton side, who've only played once so far, James, due to the work that's being done at Kenilworth Road. Will that break have helped them, or can we see them falling to a second defeat?
I'm not sure it will have helped Luton, actually. I feel, you know, having started the season as hot favourites for relegation, and they lost 4-1 at Brighton, you know, no disgrace there. I thought the performance was okay, actually. But I feel they, you know, they just wanted to get into their work, really. And so I'm not sure that the 2-week break will have helped them. You know, having said that, Chelsea picking up more injuries and more disruption to Pochettino's plans. Results, you know, not been great. The first two, obviously, the defeat at West Ham. I think the performances have actually been a bit better for Chelsea than I expected at this stage. I thought they'd be slowly away. You know, I mean, they missed a penalty at West Ham with the score at 1-1. You know, that could have really changed the dynamic of that game. So I think, you know, this is obviously a great opportunity for Chelsea to get that first win of the new era. And also for Nicholas Jackson, the striker, who's looked really lively in his first couple of games, had 4 shots against Liverpool, 2 of them on target. So I'm going for him to be first goal scorer. You can get around 7-2, I think, to open his account against the Hatters.
Well, let's move on then to Saturday's Premier League games now, and starting with the early kickoff, Bournemouth against Tottenham. I think it's safe to say that Tottenham are quickly getting the tag of entertainers, James, so far this season under Ange Postecoglou. Bournemouth not shy in coming forward as well. Can we expect goals, do we think?
Yeah, you've read my mind on this one. I mean, last season they played out a couple of crackers, a couple of 3-2 wins. Tottenham came from 2-0 down to win at Bournemouth, and Bournemouth scored 2 late goals to return the favour in North London. And you know, as you've mentioned, I mean, this season they've got 2 even more attack-minded managers in charge. So I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. You know, Tottenham started out with a 2-2 draw at Brentford. Brentford had a fantastic home record last season, so that was a good result for Tottenham. Followed up against United with a victory. United did create chances there, so Bournemouth will certainly fancy their chances of getting on the score sheet. And yeah, I think over 3.5 goals, obviously copped in Bournemouth's defeat at Anfield last weekend. I think that's the bet in this one.
There are 4 games kicking off at 3:00 in the Premier League on Saturday. James's beloved Arsenal are the first up as they play host to Fulham at the Emirates. I suppose it's not necessarily been the dynamic start maybe that a lot of would have expected maybe from Arsenal off the back of last season, James. But 2 wins out of 2, can they make it 3 on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd be disappointed if they didn't. I mean, they've had a fantastic record against Fulham. I think won 8 of their last 9 league meetings, and 6 of those were by at least a 2-goal margin. And I think Fulham, as we've seen in the early stages of this season, they're going to struggle to match that top half finish from last term. I mean, Arsenal to win and both teams to score is generally your go-to punt in their home games. But actually, I think the way Fulham have started, I think Arsenal to win to nil, you know, we saw the way they dug deep at Palace after the sending off. Thought they, you know, closed out that game really, really impressively. And I think Fulham, you know, they had a bit of a smash and grab at Goodison Park on the opening day, scored with one of their 2 shots on target. Didn't create an awful lot from open play in last weekend's home defeat to Brentford. So I think Arsenal to win to nil looks a solid bet.
You just mentioned Brentford there, and they're at home on Saturday against Crystal Palace in what looks like a game which is pretty hard to call here. I know Brentford looked impressive last week, but you know Palace are capable of springing an upset on the road on occasions. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, if you look at the trends in this game, last season both matches finished 1-1. The season before they were both 0-0, and I'm going to stick with that line of thinking. I think the draw is a really decent price in this one. Actually, I'm a big admirer of Brentford. I think they've started the season really well. You know, obviously we're without the suspended Ivan Toney, but you know, Mbeumo and Vissa have stepped up. I think they've scored 10 goals between them in Brentford's last 5 games over this season and last season. And Palace, you know, started out really impressively at Sheffield United, should probably have won by more than one goal there. So I think they can cause problems for Brentford. Gave Arsenal a few scares on Monday as well. So I think the draw looks a big runner in this one.
It may only be August the 26th when this fixture is taking place at Goodison Park, but we're already talking about a potential six-pointer, it would seem, between Everton and Wolves. Two teams that struggled last season, James, and so far, and the opening two games suggest that it could be the same situation again for both of them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, kind of real parallels between both these teams, the way they've started. You know, opening weekend, they lost 1-0, but probably deserved a lot better. Everton created a huge number of chances by their standards at home to Fulham. And obviously Wolves, in Gary O'Neill's first game, showed great kind of attacking endeavour at Old Trafford and were denied a late penalty as well. And then there was a bit of optimism going into their second fixtures. Swiftly swatted aside, both conceded four goals. I feel Everton's performance at Villa was worse than Wolves at home to Brighton. You know, Wolves conceded three in 9 minutes, and Brighton, as they've shown, can just tear teams apart. So I'm hoping that both teams can kind of hark back to that opening fixtures and put on a bit of a show here. I mean, you know, as you've mentioned, it's early days, but this has got to be targeted as a winnable fixture for both teams. So I think over 2.5 goals could be the value here. You know, you worry about Everton's finishing, definitely. I think Wolves have got a bit more about them. And then, as we saw last week, and neither defence is entirely trustworthy. So over 2.5.
The fourth and final 3 o'clock kickoff in the Premier League on Saturday is at Old Trafford, as Nottingham Forest are the visitors to take on Manchester United. Is it too early to say there's a little bit of pressure mounting on Erik ten Hag at the moment, James?
I think it's not just the results, is it? Because obviously they nicked that win against Wolves, but the performances have been unimpressive and just lack of fluency and lack of cohesion. And it's obviously not helped by now Mason Mount's injured and Rasmus Højlund still yet to make his debut. He's the kind of big goal scoring hope. That in turn means that Marcus Rashford has to play through the middle when I think he obviously prefers playing on the wing. So I think there are concerns for United, and I think this is going to be an awkward test for them. Actually, Forest, I think are a bit better than the main relegation candidates this season. You know, finished last season well. It was a pretty open game against Sheffield United, but they've got a late winner, so that was good for them. And they didn't crumble at Arsenal despite going 2-0 down early on. So I think Nottingham Forest plus 2 on the handicap. So that's a winning bet if Forest win, if they draw, or if they lose by one goal. At the moment, you just don't really see United hammering teams at Old Trafford. I mean, they were defensively superb at home last season, but, you know, I think they're the lowest goal scorers comfortably in the top six. And Forest, actually, with their front three of Gibbs White, Brennan Johnson and Awoniyi, who's scored six in his last six Premier League games, I think they can cause problems for United. So, yeah, a bit of a closer game than bookmakers expect, maybe.
Really interesting game at 5:30 on Saturday at the Amex Stadium. Brighton against West Ham. I suppose if you look at the opening two fixtures for both of these two teams, James, it was probably a train of thought for many that maybe Brighton were punching above their weight last season, having lost key players during the summer, that they wouldn't be where they were last time around. West Ham, having lost Declan Rice and not been able to spend a lot of that money that they got for him, you know, there were concerns potentially that both teams would drop off. But what we've seen in the opening couple of weeks would suggest otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think with Brighton, you just have to kind of ignore the big name players leaving. And you know, you look at the team sheet and you're seeing kind of Danny Welbeck and James Milner and Adam Lallana. You're thinking, how is this team so good? You just have to kind of sit back and accept this is a serious football team. Yeah. You know, we saw that last season when they were favourites to beat Manchester United on neutral turf in the FA Cup semi-final. And they're going off really short prices for matches like this. But, you know, you can't really argue with how highly they're rated. You know, a couple of 4-1 wins to start the season. You just feel those, you know, they're getting better and better. No matter who leaves, you know, they still find a way of replacing them. I like the look of Brighton to win and both teams to score in this game. Obviously, that's cropped in their first two wins against Luton and Wolves. And West Ham, I think, pose more of an attacking threat than those two teams. But, you know, Brighton are just playing some scintillating football under Roberto De Zerbi. And they've thumped West Ham 4-0 at home last season. But I think the Hammers can get on the score sheet. But I suspect their defence is going to crumble under the pressure against Brighton.
I've read this week that Roberto De Zerbi is pretty much seen as the main man to replace Pep Guardiola when he leaves Manchester City. So high praise indeed. Brighton, by James's thoughts, are going to get another victory on Saturday. There are two more Premier League games to look at over the course of the weekend. Both of them come on Sunday and both of them kick off at 2 o'clock at Turf Moor. It's a battle of the Claret and Blues as Burnley host Aston Villa. How do you see this one going, James?
Yeah, so Burnley, you know, played obviously on the opening night of the season against Manchester City, lost 3-0. I mean, no disgrace there. And I think they can keep it tight against Villa. You know, Villa's games have been full of goals. The 5-1 defeat at Newcastle, which I think probably flattered the Magpies a little bit. And then Villa bounced back with a 4-0 win against Everton and then put five past Hibernian in Europa Conference League playoff this week. You know, I think they were helped by some pretty generous defending in both of those victories. But, you know, their attacking unit is looking really slick with Moussa Diaby and kind of Leon Bailey revitalised. And obviously, Ollie Watkins got a hat-trick in the win over Hibs. Having said that, I think Sunday's game is going to be a little bit quieter in terms of goals. You know, Burnley strolled to the Championship title last season. I think scoring goals for them is going to be a lot harder in the Premier League. But, you know, Vincent Kompany's had a couple of weeks to prepare for this game, where Villa were involved in European game in midweek. So Burnley should be fresh. And I think a tight contest, under 2.5 goals, I like.
And then last but not least, at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United against the defending champions, Manchester City. Hard to see anything else other than an away win, James. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, Sheffield United created very little in their opening defeat to Palace at Bramall Lane. Bit more excitement at Forest. You know, Gustavo Hamas got a cracking goal for them. It was mainly sort of long-range shots, really. And, yeah, you know, they're not going to see much of the ball against City. And I think from the correct score perspective, you want to be looking at kind of City wins to nil. They beat Sheffield United 3-0 in last season's FA Cup semi-final. Obviously won 3-0 at Burnley again. I'm going to stick with that scoreline in this game. Manchester City to win 3-0.
That's the Premier League covered then. Up next, we'll be speaking to Dan Charles as we discuss all things EFL.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets. And there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Well, I'm delighted to say we're joined now by Dan Charles to look ahead to the weekend EFL action. And in a moment, Dan will be able to give you his tips for this weekend's fixtures across the Championship, League One and League Two. But as we do now here on Mark Landon's Bets Club, we're going to focus on one team in particular. And it's perhaps, Dan, a team that not many people would have been tipping for success at the start of the season, but they've been quite impressive over the last couple of weeks, and that's Oxford.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of a batch of teams, you know, near the top of League One, all on 9 points, and Oxford are one of them. As you said, probably a lot of people wouldn't have fancied them to go well. They have been kind of strong performers in League One for up until last season. They were pushing for promotion quite regularly. Last season, there was a big drop-off. Carl Robinson lost his job, and Liam Manning came in, and, you know, they only just... you know, stayed up, finished 2 points above the relegation zone. But it was a squad that people thought had underperformed. They've added a couple, not loads of players, but they've added a few players this season in key positions. James Beadle, a highly rated goalkeeper, England under 20 international, coming from Brighton. He started really well for them, and they've got a decent striker, Mark Harris from Cardiff. He's not been scoring bundles of goals in the Championship, but he's been a Championship player for several seasons, and the drop down seems to have suited him well. He's got 3 goals already for Oxford, and I think generally Liam Manning's getting a lot more out of a squad that a lot of people felt were underperforming last season. You look at their early results, not just the points they've got, it's the way they've done it. They've gone and won 2-1 at Derby. Apparently they bossed that game for long periods, then followed that up with a 3-1 win at Barnsley, who another team expected to go well. So they've had a tough fixture list. Yeah, they're still going really, really well. And I'm looking at the betting. They are the markets are starting to catch up with them a little bit. They're 10-3 to go up, and 10-1 for the title. I still think that those prices are quite attractive. Even the title one, I think it's going to be a much more open league this season. You know, not like last year when Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday, and Ipswich dominated. I think it's wide open, and Oxford are one of the teams that could be challenging for that top spot.
And James Milton thinks that they're capable, certainly, of beating Charlton at the weekend. And that would, of course, continue their excellent start to the season. We're going to get Dan's thoughts now on his 3 best bets across the EFL at the weekend. And we'll start off, Dan, because you've got one in each league, with your Championship suggestion.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I went with Ipswich last week to win at QPR. I'm going to go with Ipswich again to win at home to Leeds this weekend. I mean, these teams are separated by 2 divisions last season, but now they're separated by 7 points in the Championship, and Ipswich have got the advantage. I've had won all of their first 3 games. Leeds have had a slow start. I'm not entirely surprised by that. They've had a real talent drain in the summer, lost a lot of good players. That continued this week when Tyler Adams sealed his move to Bournemouth, and I think Daniel Farke there is going to have to do a lot of business, you know, in the last sort of week of the transfer window to plug quite a few gaps in that squad. Looks quite an inexperienced squad at the moment, Leeds. And Ipswich, it's not a place you want to be going to at the moment if you're out of form. They won 2-0 at home to Stoke in their first home game of the season. That was a real dominant performance against a team many think that with Stoke that will push this season for promotion. Ipswich, I had them down as a top 6 team before the start of the season. Sunderland made the jump up last year, went up and then made the playoffs the year after. I think Ipswich could do the same. I think they'll have a better season than Leeds, and I think odds against for them to win this weekend around 13-10 looks a really good bet.
So Dan's first tip then, Ipswich against Leeds. What about League One, Dan? What are you picking there?
Going to go with Bristol Rovers at home to Wickham. Joe Barton's Bristol Rovers, another team that I think are going to improve a lot on last season. They were sort of lower mid-table last season. I think they'll be at least top half, maybe even pushing towards the top 6. You look at some of their early season results. They went to Portsmouth, got a 1-1 draw. Drew 1-1 at home to Barnsley, a team that people were expecting to be up there. Last weekend, they lost 2-0. It was a tight game away to Cambridge, but Cambridge are a team that have started well as well. They're on 9 points at the moment, so no disgrace in that. I think they're going to be strong at home, and they're against the Wickham team that I think are maybe going the other way. After Gareth Ainsworth left last season, they sort of faded a little bit, missed out on the playoffs. This season, they've only got 4 points from 4 games, Wickham. I'm not so sure, but I think they'll probably could well be bottom half this season. Bristol Rovers going the other way. Bristol Rovers at home, odds against, good bet for me.
Joey Barton seems to be impressing at this managerial lark at the moment, and Bristol Rovers heading in the right direction. The third of Dan's EFL tips then in League Two. What are we going with here, Dan?
Well, this is going to be based on my team, my team in focus from last week, which was Crawley. They're going to Swindon this weekend in League Two. I think Crawley have got every chance of getting at least a point from this game there. Shade of odds on 10-11 to avoid defeat away to Swindon. They've started really, really well under Scott Lindsay. He's actually a former Swindon manager. There was a little bit of sort of acrimony when he left there. He didn't get on that great with a section of the Swindon fans. He'll be determined to get a result, I think, with Crawley this weekend. And he's got a team to do so. Crawley have had some outstanding results so far this season. They've won 2-0 at home to Bradford, had a great result at home, won 2-1 at home to the MK Dons as well. Two teams that are fancied to go well. They did lose 1-0 at home to Gillingham, who are top of League Two at the moment, got 100% record. But that 1-0 result, by all accounts, Crawley dominated that game for long periods. So things are looking very good for Crawley. Swindon, I think, are going to be on a bit of a downer because they had a 4-1. They led 4-1 away to Wrexham last weekend and ended up drawing the game 5-5. So I think there might be a little bit of a hangover from that result. But ultimately, I think Crawley are as good a side as Swindon, at least, and I think they can go there and get at least a point.
Crawley were amongst the favourites, weren't they, Dan, to get relegated this season? I mean, obviously, that has probably inspired them, the start that they've had, and, you know, you'd expect them to kick on from here.
They've done a lot of recruitment in the summer, a lot of players out of non-league that people were thinking would struggle to make the step up, but Scott Lindsay knows, the manager knows the non-league really well. He's recruited really well. And it's not just the wins that they've been getting, it's the manner of them. They're one of the top teams for possession so far in the league. And that's despite playing a lot of the top teams. So it suggests they're going to, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. I think they could actually have a really good season and maybe even push for them playoff spots.
So if you don't mind, Dan, if you just reiterate the three tips again. And then if there's one in particular that if you're going to have one bet this weekend, you'd go with.
Okay, I'm tipping Ipswich to beat Leeds in the Championship, Bristol Rovers to beat Wickham in League One, Crawley to avoid defeat away to Swindon in League Two. My top bet out of those three will be Crawley to avoid defeat at Swindon.
Great, thanks very much, Dan, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
You're welcome, Warren.
Well, thanks very much to Dan Charles, as ever, going through his EFL selections. Back to James Milton now, as he looks through the potential best bets in terms of bet builders, trebles and naps for this weekend's action. And James, we'll start off with your bet builder. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, I'm going for the Newcastle-Liverpool game. We've mentioned it's a really exciting game on this weekend. So starting out, over 2.5 goals is the first leg of my bet builder. Newcastle's last four home wins were by scorelines of 5-1, 4-1, 3-1 and 6-1. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, Liverpool have been involved in a couple of really open games against Chelsea and Bournemouth. You know, Mo Salah hit the crossbar, had a goal chalked off for offside against Chelsea. Ben Chilwell had a goal chalked off as well for the Blues. So plenty of chances in both of Liverpool's first two games. So over 2.5 goals looks pretty solid. The second leg, I mean, Newcastle love to get involved in a bit of a battle. Over 2.5 Newcastle cards. They've picked up 9 yellow cards in their first two games, so they're really embracing the new refereeing guidelines. All three of their starting midfielders were booked against Man City last time out, and you know, those guys are going to be out to disrupt Liverpool's rhythm again. So I think at least three Newcastle cards. You know, depending on the state of the game, you could get a couple for time wasting as well. We know the Eddie Howe's men are quite smart with their game management, shall we call it. So, yeah, over 2.5 Newcastle cards is the second leg. And for the final leg, so this adds up to a bet builder around 9-2, I think. I'm going for Luis Diaz to have over 2.5 shots. He's kind of slightly forgotten man for Liverpool, but he's had a great start to the season, scored in both of their games. Fantastic improvised finish against Bournemouth last time out. And when he first arrived, he racked up some incredible shot stats kind of in his early performances for Liverpool. And he's kicked off this season in similar style, had 4 shots against Chelsea, 3 against Bournemouth. And that was when Liverpool had to play the final half hour with 10 men. So I think he will be a real menace to the Newcastle defence. So Diaz, over 2.5 shots.
And people forget, I think, a little bit, James, that he was out for 6 months last season. It did have a huge impact on Liverpool in terms of his injury absence. So there's James's bet builder. Then in terms of the big game of the weekend in the Premier League, if you're looking to go across the games, then maybe consider a treble. What have you got for us this weekend?
Yeah, so the treble. So I'm sticking with this Newcastle-Liverpool game. It just screams goals. You know, fans of a certain vintage will always have the 4-3 correct score in their mind when they see these teams lining up. So over 2.5 goals in Newcastle-Liverpool is the first leg of the treble as well. Newcastle obviously thumped Villa 5-1 in their first home game. Villa created plenty of chances there as well. And Liverpool, really dangerous in attack, slightly suspect in defence. So I think at least 3 goals are on the cards at St James's. And moving into League One for the second leg of the treble, Oxford to beat Charlton. Oxford have won their last 3 league games, and the last 2 really impressive away wins at Derby and Barnsley, who are 2 teams expected to be involved in the promotion battle. And their host, a Charlton side, have lost their last 4 in all competitions. So I think Oxford are kind of a shade of odds on, like a solid bet in the EFL. And I'm heading to Serie A on Saturday evening for the final leg. Under 2.5 goals in Milan against Torino. Torino had an amazing end to last season on the road, conceded only one goal in their last six away games. They lost 1-0 at Milan last season and kicked off this campaign with a 0-0 draw at home to Cagliari. So, you know, they're not going to roll over at San Siro. And I think under 2.5 goals is another solid selection here.
So there's James's treble thoughts then for this weekend. What about the nap? Are we going back to St James's Park in terms of this selection, James?
No, I'm going to leave that one alone. I've spoken far too much about that. So you'll have to have a saver on 0-0 there in that one. Now I'm going back to Brighton to win and both teams to score at West Ham against West Ham. I think it's around 7-4. And, you know, we've seen Brighton play some fabulous football in the first couple of weeks. 4-1 wins against Luton and Wolves. But, you know, last weekend, West Ham showed their attacking threat as well, particularly with James Ward-Prowse now on set pieces, which is a huge boost to any team. So I think they can get on the score sheet, but I suspect they will end up being torn apart by a really classy Brighton side.
So there's James's bet builder treble and the nap for this weekend's action. I hope you've enjoyed the latest episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club with myself, Warren Ashurst, and James Milton standing in for Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon. Mark will be back next week and we'll be looking ahead, of course, to all of the action, not only in the Premier League, but also in the EFL. Remember, of course, to gamble responsibly and, more importantly than anything else, enjoy your football this weekend.